At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Kathleen Can Do It, the DIY podcast celebrating the fun and fails of doing it yourself. I'm Kathleen Martin.
I'm Kathleen Heaney.
We're just two Kathleens trying to make their world a little less ugly with great design.
Indeed we are. And this episode, we are discussing peel and stick tiles for beginners. And I guess if this were a college class, it would be like peel and stick 101, right?
Super fun. I'm signing up.
So out of the two of us, Kathleen, you really have expert level knowledge, much more than I do, about peel and stick tiles or peel and stick products in general. And just like, where is it in your house? Because it's beautiful. So I know that you have it in your house. Like, I'm over here like, oh, do you have it in your house? I know you have it in your house. Tell us a little bit about your experience.
Okay, so I have an old crusty bathroom that I'm
I like the word crusty.
It had so much pee around the toilet that I couldn't get up.
Oh, God.
And the toilet was facing the bathtub. It was a whole thing.
A good attribute to bread, not so much to bathrooms.
Crust. Yes. No, you don't want crust in the bathroom. So doing this DIY renovation, not ready for the full thing.
Yeah.
Actually went out and bought real tile and realized not ready for it.
Yeah.
We needed my fiance Brian and I. So I say we. I want to give him some credit, but I'm going to try to say I.
No, just he deserves credit. But listen, this is your podcast.
Yes,
it's
not his. Okay, I did it all. So needed something that was temporary because it's in phases, right? I think a lot of DIY and a lot of home renovation is kind of part one, part two.
Yeah.
So needed something that was going to last, look really great, and was cheap because I didn't want to do this process twice with something very expensive. So I got kind of the standard peel and stick that you would think about. It has a cardboardy kind of structure.
Yeah, like a little thicker.
Right.
Meant to use on the floor.
Right. Meant to use on the floor, a little bit thicker, but huge point to it, it's thin enough that you can use scissors. So if you have a good pair of scissors, you are cutting it to whatever size you need with the scissors that you already have in your house. So it's not a problem.
So like the childproof scissors, you think I could cut through peel and stick floor with childproof scissors?
No. I think you need a standard kitchen scissor and you're going to be good. Use this tile just like we would normal tile. Pulled everything out, took out the toilet, took out the sink, and put it down, and it went in super easily. Looks great.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to say, because sometimes when you are doing a DIY and you're giving advice, and if you've just done it, you don't know if it's going to work or how it's going to last.
Yeah. Which I think a lot of DIY YouTubers are like, they're like, let me watch other DIY YouTube videos on this subject and then I'll film my own. But you really do, especially when it comes to a product that's not supposed to be like a forever product,
right?
Like peel and stick, you don't know how it's going to be a year later if you're somebody who doesn't have experience with that.
Yeah. And I don't want to recommend something that's going to be garbage in 2 weeks, because we've all been there. We tried something we saw on YouTube. We put it down. It was great. And then it didn't last. Mm-hmm. And then you're doing the project again. And it's really annoying.
Yeah.
So it's been like, I would say a little over a year, and not a single tile has lifted. So it's easy. Let's talk about the steps because I didn't really explain it.
Yeah.
So you get a pack, and the ones we got were super affordable. They were about $1.25 a square foot. So if you mess one up or if you have to buy, you know, a little extra, it's not breaking the bank.
No. I mean, $1 a square foot. Two, when you think about it, anything under $2, as long as you're not replacing the floor for a whole ballroom, like it's going to be budget friendly. But it does always shock me when I figure out the square footage of like something that I need to replace. And I'm like, wow, that is a lot more square footage than I thought it was going to be. Like shower floors. Always, I'm like, oh, you go with the expensive flooring for a shower. And then I'm like, when you do the math, you're like, oh, that's a $500 shower floor.
So
it's crazy.
I understand zero math, and square footage is just makes my brain explode.
I always find a website to plug in the numbers every time I need to figure out square footage.
$400? That seems way off.
I know.
Okay. Or it's like 10,000. I'm like, Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Meanwhile, yeah. This bathroom is as big as my butt.
It's like, your primary bath, but it's
very small. Every time I go in there, I slam my butt on the doorknob and I have no butt, so it's saying a lot. It's very tiny.
I don't know if I've ever used the toilet in your house, but I'm glad that I haven't because there would be no room for me to get by.
Okay. This is totally unrelated, but I encourage you to use the toilet in my house because I have a heated bidet, off topic.
I know.
Life changing. You will never use the bathroom anywhere else. You will hold it so that you can just have your butt cradled in the warmth of a bidet that with a heated seat.
You know, you've been pushing bidet life on me for a while now, and I am interested in it. I am also, though, terrified that I know it's like bidets are easy to install and you can do it yourself, but I live in a condo, and what if I don't do it right myself and all of a sudden my building has filled up and it's because the lady in 30C was like, I would like a warm tush experience during my morning poo.
You can do it. I encourage everyone and anyone to get a bidet, but I'm off topic.
Yeah.
Okay. So you get the packs, you buy a little bit extra always. Yeah. And this is a tiling tip for anyone. It doesn't matter if you're using reel or peel and stick. Figure out where you're laying that first line because it's not on the edge.
Yes.
Why? Because you want, so in the doorway, you want it centered on the door.
Yeah.
You want to work actually center outwards.
Yes.
So ran the first line of tiles going down centered. So visually it looked really good.
I get it. Yeah. So when someone is standing in front of your bathroom, an open door or whatever, you're like, okay, where's their eye going to hit first to see the product in its full beauty?
Yeah. Because if you start off to the side, you might end up having a weird half tile in a very obvious spot. So you want to have the cuts where they're more on the outside.
Ooh, excellent tip. I feel like that is something that not a lot of people when they're starting a project like this, like not people who are getting started in the DIY world, like my husband, for instance, if you asked him to lay peel and stick floor anywhere, he would start in the corner because he's like a mathematics guy.
It makes sense. You have flat edges and you want to, you know, kind of line it up, but then you could end up with a very weird cut somewhere in the center.
Oh, I get that.
It sticks. So it has a backer. You peel it off.
Yeah.
You lay it down. I didn't have the vanity in.
Yeah.
I had the luxury of doing it without.
Oh, brag.
I know.
Your toilet and your vanity wasn't in when you were laying your peel and stick.
The toilet wasn't.
Oh, the toilet wasn't. See, that's the hard part, right?
So that is the hard part. So here's a tip. So for this type of tile, which is thin and cuttable with scissors, you need to make little templates. So the brand I use and actually really enjoyed and would definitely recommend is called Wall Pops.
Yeah.
So I think they started out, they offer wallpaper and other products, but they've expanded for peel and stick. And a little bit of everything, it seems like, at this point.
Oh, cool. I also bought the same wall pops that you have on the floor in your bathroom for my utility room. I haven't laid them yet, but I've done some practicing with them in my regular bathroom to like just see the texture, see if when I put it down, can I pull it back up? Like, how forgiving is it going to be? And it's a pretty forgiving product.
What you need to do is I use computer paper. You can get brown paper, whatever you have. Wrapping paper is actually good because it's very thin and moldable. And make some templates, kind of try to figure out the curve of the toilet, fold the paper up into that curve, trace it. And then once you have the paper template correct, then go on to your peel and stick tile, trace it, cut it, and fit it in. It's always better. I mess up all the time, but always better. Try to get that template right before you're messing up the tile. But at $1 or so a square foot, it's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And there were a few times where I did have to be like, ugh, mess this up. Let me just try it again.
Yeah.
And as you're going, you gain a little bit more confidence, a little bit more understanding of how the product works.
Yeah.
And you're able to get kind of those little tricky areas easier.
I am a brown paper template human.
It's handy.
It's what I use for everything. I once built a vanity out of cardboard because I didn't trust that my measurements were right. Like, templates that's are amazing. My thing.
That's no, I do the opposite. See, I buy things, I don't measure the space it comes in, it's too big, and I go, crap.
So if you were thinking about using peel and stick tile, this is for you if you're a renter.
Yeah, I think this is a good option if you're a renter, if you have a really ugly tile that you're just trying to easily cover up.
Like dying to cover up, like it ruins your day every time you have to look at your bathroom floor.
You look at it. I would say it's best for a floor that is flat. If your tile has a lot of bevel or edges to it. Not the best choice because
you're going to get peeling.
Yeah, it might pop up. It's not going to lay flat. I laid mine on subfloor, so just a piece of plywood.
Oh.
So I knew it was going to just have a really good adhesion.
You laid yours on ideal conditions.
Right.
So you peeled up, you broke up the tile that was there before the crusty tile.
Yes. So disgusting.
And then you put down a new subfloor.
Yes.
Okay. Which,
that was a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but if you're not in the business of putting down new subfloors, you can't pull up the tile because you're a renter. So many people have a lot of success using these products. If you are only going to stay in the city you're in for 3 years and you just want something that looks nice when your guests come over, that's not going to break the bank. I've seen a lot of renter YouTubers do it. And when they peel it up, there's little to no residue underneath.
Yeah.
And, like, you haven't peeled yours up, but I've been periodically peeling up my peel and stick testers in the bathroom, and there's no residue underneath. Just some everyday cleaner would peel up that stickiness or olive oil or whatever.
I will say it hasn't pulled up. So that's been good. So if you want it, if you want it to last, it's been about a year and a half. Let's talk about any downsides. So our bathroom door catches a little bit.
Oh.
And very, very subtly on one of them where the door is actively rubbing every single time you open it.
Yeah.
A little bit of wear there, but that's my own fault.
Wow. And that's wall pops.
But every other area, normal wear, like normal walking,
you're
not dragging wood on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been fine. No corners have lifted. And I will say, I did not do any caulking or sealing or anything to it. And sometimes I'm a messy shower-er and water gets outside. You know when your shower curtain it's curving in, it won't lay flat in the corner?
Yeah. I've hit it with the hairdryer before.
That's
to like,
so
I know, and it never lays flat sometimes, I know.
So I'm dripping water down frequently and nothing's happened there.
And
in
your
that peel area.
And stick floor is totally fine.
Totally fine. I will say, depending on your pattern, pay attention to orientation and the way the tiles line up, because that's something that can mess you up. If you could accidentally install it and you've rotated it and maybe the pattern is getting it messed up. I did that a few times. I don't know. It was weird. It was supposed to line up no matter which way you put it.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, if it's not printed 100% correctly, there was a direction that just worked better. And for the areas I messed up, because I'm over the top, I took a tiny paintbrush with black paint and touched up a little area. I think I spaced it too far.
This is why you and I are friends, because I paint my walls with a tiny little paintbrush.
And it's one of those things where at the time it seems like the most important detail ever.
I know.
And then later you're just like, no one's noticing.
No, and why did I bother? So you just laid them flat next to each other. No caulk. I've seen people caulk. You caulked around the toilet where the tiles touch the toilet.
No.
Are you kidding me?
Nothing.
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 And it's totally held up.
Totally fine.
And you've had water on the floor.
Water. You can mop it. Clorox.
Dang.
Yeah.
Now, another option that I've been looking into for my bathrooms is that they do make for beginners, peel and stick 101, for floors or any type of tile, backsplash tile or wall tile in a room in your house or in a guest bath or whatever. They make stickers.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of luck. I really like this company called Chasing Paper because they do more of an industrial sticker for larger tiles. And then you can put them down and then grout. And I swear they look like it's a tile that you've had there the whole time. It is a little bit of a thicker product. And if you're really looking for a waterproof peel and stick tile shaped tile, Amazon, Etsy, I know DIY bloggers, they love making their bathrooms look like it's a handcrafted Moroccan tile, you know, with tile stickers, and they lay some fresh grout and it really looks amazing. Kathleen, we were just looking at Chris Loves Julia blog before we started recording, and she did her little girl's bathroom.
Yeah, it was great.
Right?
The tile before was disgusting.
The tile before was that 90s It's a
rustic.
Rustic natural stone.
Distressed.
Beige.
Bad.
12 by 12 square tile. I don't know. Why would anybody put like a rustic distressed tile
on the ground?
On the ground anywhere, because it's got to be a natural stone.
And the bathroom is just collecting.
Yes. It has all these little grooves in it and like little holes, these porous holes.
Gross.
Think about all the, I mean, if you had that in your bathroom with your, your wet showers, do you not dry your body before you get out of the shower?
No. So the spilling is happening as I shower.
Ah, it's coming out.
Because of the curled shower curtain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Our tub is disgusting.
Yeah.
Actively moldy.
Yeah, of course. If you haven't lived with an actively moldy tub or shower at some point in your life and you haven't really cared, like, are you human?
Why do you live like this? My nephew was taking a tour of our home and peeled back the shower curtain. I was like, no, it's like for animals.
I know. I have to. And you know, the thing is that when you need to replace caulking and stuff that's moldy in a shower, you have to pull everything out and then, you know, apply new product.
Yeah.
And then you have to like not shower for like 72 hours or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have no place else to go.
Organize my life around this caulk.
I have seen people do full with, you know, the peel and stick tile that you can use on the wall.
Yeah.
The stuff that's like made from PVC piping. And there are a variety of different qualities you can get. But like the really cheap stuff, I've seen people put it on their walls in their bathroom, like where their tub is. And they say that it holds up fine. Totally fine.
That's surprising to me. That would make me nervous. Not a lot makes me nervous. That would make me nervous.
Really?
Just the waterproof quality of that. I would be more inclined something like the thinner sticker type.
Yeah.
As opposed to something that has more depth. But it's definitely a great option. I was thinking for the sticker one you were mentioning, my sister has a large kitchen with shiny white tile that looks horrible no matter what. She has triplets. So when they're little, food everywhere.
Yes.
You have to like mop it every day. Yeah. And she was looking into the sticker type as just a budget friendly option because it doesn't matter what your budget is. When it's big enough, it really adds up, even if you find something more inexpensive. And this was so she wants to renovate, but she's not ready. Same with my bathroom. I want to put in the real tile. I'm not ready. So how can I make this filthy, disgusting tile look good in the meantime? So I think there's a lot of phases, right? You can phase one, she's thinking sticker, and then she'll rip it out eventually and put it in the real thing. So it's a good temporary solution or a forever solution, but it can be that Band-Aid renovation.
Like, I love the idea of using a sticker over a tile that you really don't like and then using some sort of like polyacrylic over it to really seal the edges, get the whole tile, then regrout everything. And then it's really like you have new tile. It is really basic for anybody who just wants some like a refresh, right?
Right.
Like, it's just like changing your underwear. Give yourself a refresh.
It's good because sometimes you could really hate a space.
Yeah.
And you feel like I can't afford that bigger renovation. And putting in something affordable could just truly make you happy every single day when you look at it.
I mean, and who really cares how good it looks in person as long as it looks good in your Instagram photos? I mean, and all you need is scissors or a box cutter or whatever. I would love to see a show on HGTV where it was just called Peel and Stick. And it was like weird places where people use peel and stick tile.
What's a place that you wouldn't necessarily think of for peel and stick tile?
Speaking of moldy showers, in my moldy shower, I've got one of those shower pans, you know, just like the full plastic piece instead of individual tiles that you put at the bottom of your shower. And it's definitely like builder grade. I think that whomever was the first purchaser of my apartment, they got to choose some of the fixtures and the options that went in here. And I think it was like a rental property. So everything is like really basic. And I'm a blonde sometimes, my tips right now, not my roots. And I use purple shampoo. Oh. And what I hate about my shower pan is that A, it's chipping. It's 20 years old. B, it takes stain so horribly. And my purple shampoo has just totally wrecked my shower, my shower basin. I would like to try to re-caulk the edges, no mold, right?
Yeah.
And then because it's just like one continuous white flat piece of plastic, I would like to get a very thin, very waterproof tile sticker in the shape of a tile, maybe like a hexagon, something not too small that'll take me forever, but something big where I can actually lay it out, then paint like a waterproof paint in between the tiles, or just maybe paint the whole basin before I lay the tiles down, and then do like a couple of coats of a marine grade poly over it. To make it look make it look like real tiles and see how long it holds up and really get those edges, like replace my drain so I can seal where the drain is with the poly acrylic and then put a new drain in. I don't know. That is just like one of my visions of a dirt cheap shower floor DIY redo. Where would you use a peel and stick tile that a lot of people maybe don't necessarily think to use peel and stick?
Have you been seeing lately people doing glow ups on their garages if you're lucky enough to have a garage?
No, is that a trending thing?
Yeah, at least what I've been looking at, maybe because it's just I'm trying to manifest it, but treating your garage kind of as an extension of your home, I'm seeing really nice Rust-Oleum floor kits where you're like throwing the confetti so whatever.
Yeah.
Actually, my neighbor did it with glitter. Added glitter into it. So that's cool. So just how can you extend, create your, you know, make your garage like a extension of your home? So I think it'd be nice if you had a work area or even a crafting area in your garage to make it a little fancier with something that doesn't cost a lot. So adding some peel and stick to the wall, maybe around some shelving or something like that to give it a little bit of fun in the garage.
And like even imagine laying a temporary subfloor in your garage for your tool corner or whatever. And then you can like trim out that subfloor to make this little area, like the whole garage maybe doesn't need peel and stick on the floor. Maybe if you were unhappy with how the floor looked like, you know, like trimming out subfloors. Okay, let's take it a step further.
Yeah.
Let's say you like taking Instagram photos, but you're a renter and you've got carpet, but carpet in your house, right? And you're like, I want to take all these outfit photos, but carpet's ruining my vibe.
Oh my gosh, that's really smart.
Get some subfloor, figure out where your camera hits when you're taking these photos, like put the tripod in the same spot every time. And then everyone will be like, oh my God, you've got the most beautiful, colorful, chic floors in your house. Oh, I love your hardwood, but it's not really hardwood.
Oh my gosh, she just blew my mind.
It's just vinyl hardwood flooring that really does look like hardwood that you've just made like a fake subfloor with.
That is, as someone who tries to take outfit photos and I have no good full length mirror, that just blew my mind. That is so true because you only need it as wide as that photo is.
Yeah.
So you're looking into the mirror and you could get two pieces of plywood and some peel and stick tile.
Yeah. And you live in a mansion. You live in the chicest, poshest mansion. Nobody knows.
Screaming into the microphone. I'm just so in for that. And then people come over. They're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
it's like the back is a green screen.
Yeah. Your friends come over and they're like, but earlier in the week when you were posting your OOTD, like you had these blonde hardwood wide plank floors. So where did that go?
Shag.
And you're like, oh, that subfloor, that fake floor is in the bathroom right now.
You just slide it under the bed.
It's so crazy. See, the world is endless when it comes to peel and stick. A peel and stick oyster of sorts. So that is really just peel and stick 101 for people who are like thinking about the idea, who want to continue thinking about it, or who are interested in getting started with a really simple, easy project. If you want more information about the products that we chatted about in this podcast, we'll of course have them in our show notes linked over there on our website, Kathleen Can Do It, and on our podcast Instagram at Kathleen Can Do It.
I'll also share some pics of the peel and stick tile I used on my bathroom floor so you can get a sense of how it worked in real life. And like we mentioned in episode 1, every week we are shouting out our favorite DIY accounts on Instagram or Pinterest, or just something that's inspiring us online this week. An account I have to talk about is Melanie Thomas Design.
Yes, you told me about this account. And at one glance, I was like, follow.
Sold. So her handle is @Melanie_Thomas_design. So you get it right. I'm colorful.
Yeah.
She takes color, pattern, texture to the next level. She's an account that really inspires me because sometimes, even though I am colorful. I'm still playing it safe, Brian, but...
Well, I get what you mean because you like want to mix patterns.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wait, no, I can't do that. And before you know it, like me, I'm like, this house is an Easter egg threw up in here because I'm afraid to go bold when I want to go bold. Right.
She's super bold. Everywhere you look is just perfectly curated and I am loving it. She has this Andy Warhol banana pillow.
Yes, yes, yes. In her bedroom. That was a recent reel that she posted, yeah, right?
It's pinned at the top and it's whimsical. It's fun, but it's still sophisticated. Highly recommend. And it looks like she does e-design. Oh. So that's something to check out. So definitely give her a follow.
Ooh, she is proof that you should lean into the whimsy.
Yes. Check her out.
Oh, awesome. And this week I'm shouting out at Delancey.diy because Delancey is my queen. I love her account. I learned so much from her about power tools. A couple of weeks ago, she posted about this like thick fatty fat anchor for drywall.
I saw that, so I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. These like big fat white anchors for hanging anything in drywall. And I have like a couple of lamps that are hanging off the wall. Also, they were total lifesavers for me. I ran to Home Depot based on Delancey's suggestion, and I'm never looking back. But more recently, she did a reel about a brad nailer versus a pin nailer,
yeah,
which I found very helpful because I'm in the process of installing box trim in my apartment, aka shadow box molding. I guess some people call it that. I don't know. Box trim rolls off the tongue a touch more easily for me. So at Delancey.diy on Instagram, you're going to love her account.
Definitely. Don't forget, you can send us a voicemail. Our number is 201-378-3378. We want to hear about your DIYs, what's working, what's not. Let's chat.
Yes. And in an upcoming episode, we just got an email from a listener who needs some tips, affordable tips on sprucing up a temporary home. She's staying in a cottage in the Hamptons.
Oh my God, such a dream.
I know. The Hamptons. I'm so sorry for you. No, I'm joking.
It's a cottage.
No, she sent us photos of the cottage that she's staying in and just needs a little happy spruce.
Yeah.
So we'll be helping that listener out with some affordable tips probably next episode. And, other than that, you can reach out to us, hello@KathleenCanDoIt.com, or follow us on our personal socials. Me, Kathleen Haney, I'm at Kathleen Loves Color.
And me, Kathleen Martin, at Create a Colorful Life.
We also have a Facebook account, facebook.com/KathleenCanDoIt Podcast.
And remember,
if Kathleen can do it, you can do it too.
Did I get it that time?